Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 59. This is called For the Women. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today, Patty Morrison, who is an image strategist. Now, Patty has been on the show before, and if you didn't listen to her previous podcast, make sure you go back and listen to that podcast. She is the owner of ImageStrategist.com. For the Women, this is a very important podcast, I think, for everybody who's in financial services, and to be brutally honest, in business in general. Because what Patty's going to talk about today is what women should do to not just build, but to maintain not just a business professional outfit, or business casual sort of attire. So, Patty, thank you very much for being on our show today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So let's dive in. What do you run up against the most when it comes to talking about women and how they should be dressing in the workplace?
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you had me on because one of my passions is helping women entrepreneurs and people in business knowing how to dress appropriately. Because, you know, in the 1980s, John T. Malloy, he wrote the book Dress for Success. And, you know, that was because women were re-entering the workforce there, and I was kind of a model to match how men dressed, you know, quite formal. And we've come a long way since then. And now, you know, the other end of the spectrum now is casual Fridays. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are wearing, companies call me in because people are wearing everything from like evening wear to beach wear to work. And the employees are like pulling their hair out, mm-hmm. you know, just knowing kind of what's appropriate. And, you know, they're finding now that they need to put in dress codes because, you know, that there's not really a standard. So I spend a lot of time talking to women and helping them put together wardrobes that work. And, you know, it's kind of like there's almost like a uniform for business. And mm-hmm. it's not as structured as for men. It's much simpler for men to dress, actually, because they have, you know, less fabrics and less, you know, necklines and mm-hmm. styles and everything. But women have a lot more choice. And so a lot of times they're just an overwhelm when they go shopping. But what I am kind of specialize in, I've been in the business for like 35 years now at a clothing store for 10 of those years. And, you know, just helping women kind of put together wardrobes that work so their whole life is not maintaining a wardrobe. So they can actually go to their closet in the morning, you know, pull something out, know they look great, and they don't think about how they look for the rest of the day. So, you know, there's actually like a 10-piece wardrobe that gives you 25 different combinations. And that's kind of a, you know, like the actual pieces. But there's a number of things that women need to find out first before, you know, that they need to determine before actually picking what those pieces are going to look like, because they all have style. And you know, cleaning people's wardrobes, I find they wear 20% of their clothes in their closet.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about those considerations. What are the sort of considerations that women that you've worked with need to take into consideration when they're purchasing these pieces?
Yes. Well, the first thing is they need to determine what their style is. And, you know, that's I've written a book, First Impressions, Dressing for Impact, and I kind of go into more detail there. But basically, the looks are chic, elegant, glamorous, and spicy. And, you know, every one of those looks is very broad. And everybody has like a main look and a secondary look, because the look is determined by your body shape and structure and facial features, as well as your personality. So sometimes those are the same and sometimes they're a bit different. So, you know, like just very quickly, like a chic woman, like, you know, examples of those would be like Barbra Streisand, Nicole Kidman, Meryl Streep, Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those women, they like the details to be a little bit different. Kind of a twist on the classics. They like the eclectic look as opposed to kind of having everything matching. Mm-hmm. And they like and they choose more subtle and subdued prints. And they kind of like smaller, more intricate kind of jewelry. So, you know, one end of the spectrum would be a woman who wears like one feather earring, so something very unusual. And the other end is a woman who's very fashionable from Paris. So that's kind of the chic look. Mm-hmm. And then there's the elegant look, and that's like Kate Middleton, you know, Angelina Jolie, Princess Di, Jackie Onassis, like Grace Kelly. And so, you know, these women, they like clean lines and simplicity. And they actually look best in solids and neutral colors. And they wear relatively few prints. And they're attracted to more of the classic styles. And, you know, they prefer quality over quantity. And a really good way to figure out what your look is to go just eyeball your closet. Because sometimes what people think they want or they like and what they see they actually buy tells them kind of what their main probably look is and then how they can expand from it.
What happens if they're buying the wrong stuff? I just wrote down the question, you know, how do you make that decision on which of those four genres of style that you're going to make? Is it just preference? Is it body type? Is it skin tone? Is it, help me with that.
Well, you know what I find? As women get older, they actually learn a lot of things through trial and error. So they may have thought, oh, I really, you know, they go out shopping with their really spicy friend or whatever. Or they go into like a store and they get a salesperson who says, oh, you should be wearing these florals or you should be wearing whatever. And then so they buy these things because they think I'm kind of stuck. I don't know what my look is. I'll try this. And, you know, a lot of times when we're going through closets, I see the mistakes in somebody's closet or the one that they shop with that same friend all the time. Mm. And it's all the things that their friend should be wearing, not them. So what I find is when people actually wear clothes that are for their style, they love it. So, you know, if they tend to buy solids and neutrals, that's what they tend to wear. If they like spicy kind of bright colors and they feel they don't like the neutrals as much, then those are the clothes that they're going to want to wear. So people love, once they figure out their style, they love it. And it, you know, I figure every person needs help. I mean, even me, at the beginning of every season, I look through the magazines, I go into the stores, I talk to the people in stores. I look at my clients' wardrobes, I figure out what's the next things to add. So there's actually a science to dressing. But most people, if they don't have confidence, if they don't know anything about their lot, their style, they're more reluctant to talk to people about it. So, you know, I'm always encouraging people, go into a store. If you know, find somebody that actually kind of has your style, like the look that you kind of have it. That's one of the safest ways of kind of, you know, like finding out what they would suggest. Hmm. Rather than going to a salesperson who's a totally different look than you. Because, you know, if you go to like an image consultant or whatever, then they kind of know how to dress all people. You know, like the goal is I train people how to do that. So so they don't dress people in their style. They kind of look at the person and look at all these features and know how to dress them. So, So everybody needs help. Now, do you want me to tell you what the other two styles are?
I do. Yeah.
In case there's any listeners who aren't those first chic or elegant. Okay, the other style, one of the other styles is glamour. So, you know, this is women like Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lopez, Sandra Bullock, Julia Roberts. And, you know, this person, they like bright colors. They're attracted to, you know, they're kind of like a trendsetter rather than a follower in fashion. They can adopt the latest styles. If they have time to shop, they like shopping on their own. And they can wear like, you know, bigger accessories and they love fashion basically. So that's like the glamorous person. And a lot of the top models and movie stars are in that category. Hmm. And then there's the spicy women. I always say these are like our fun friends, you know, kind of like Bette Midler, Rihanna, Christine Aguilera, Drew Barrymore. Those women are very spicy. And so they're kind of a bit on the outrageous side. And they have a fun and approachable personality, and they like to laugh a lot. And they can wear like bigger prints. They like bigger prints. They like bright colors. And a lot of them may have been a tomboy when they were younger. So that's a very quick overview of the four different styles.
And those four different styles can be worn as business professional, correct?
Yes. Now, within the style, this is why you're going to pick your clothes with your style in mind. You can be a lot more kind of adventurous when you're doing the other categories of clothes. Could I just say something about that, about how to know what are business appropriate clothes?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. So, yes.
Okay. So if people think about their wardrobe in terms of categories and they have little capsules of clothes in each one of those categories, what I find is people don't have their wardrobe split out. So that's why they end up wearing sometimes the newest outfit that they just bought for the weekend. They wear that to work. or they don't have the right shoes for that. And, you know, so the different categories, is there like a sporty category that's basically exercise wear, you know, things that you would only go and wear exercising. Now in Vancouver, we see people are wearing those clothes all day on the streets. So I always say to people, if I lived in Paris, I wouldn't even have a job. But, you know, living kind of in, well, you're in Toronto, aren't you?
Yeah, our company's based out of Toronto. I'm actually in Michigan, very similar climate.
Ah, right. Okay, so people are from all over. But, you know, it's people are very casual on the West Coast here. But basically, you wear footwear that's like exercise kind of wear for this sporty category. And those clothes really just stay kind of in your exercise wear. And then there's weekend wear. Now, these clothes, you know, if you think of them, they're kind of like for relaxing at home or doing errands on the weekend or things you change into in the evening. And, you know, they're kind of fun, fashionable, comfortable. They're less structured and they're definitely washable. You know, I say to women, it's something that you could cook, you know, you could cook in the kitchen and so you don't mind getting dirty because you're going to wash it, or you could lay on the couch and watch TV and not worry about, you wouldn't sit there in a structured jacket watching TV, you know, so sometimes it's easier to think of like that. And the footwear for that is kind of flat shoes and flip-flops and boots are kind of all appropriate for casual clothes. But these clothes, this weekend wear clothing is never appropriate for work. So now there's also dressy casual. These are the three different casual categories that we're talking about. So dressy casual, they're a little more structured, kind of things you wear out to meet a friend for like coffee or go downtown or, you know, go to a friend's house for dinner, that kind of thing, go to a nice restaurant. And so these fabrics, they're dry cleanable usually, but they could also be washable. And then now we're going to talk about business. So there's business casual and there's presentation. So presentation clothing, these are like kind of the dress for success, you know, like matching jackets and skirts or pants. Mm-hmm. It's quite formal. Like I'm finding in business, you know, business, people are going more towards business casual, but there are times where you need to make a presentation or, you know, my people who are corporate, you know, in the corporate world, accountants, and lawyers, a lot of times they need to have suiting. And that's we all kind of know what that looks like, right? Structured, just dressier. Mm-hmm. Then there's business casual. This is where it's a little broader. So this is where I wanted to tell you what the 10-piece wardrobe would look like. That, you know, I was talking about that core wardrobe for women for business casual.
Yeah, I have that underlined on my sheet of paper here. So yeah, I'd really like to know what those 10 pieces are.
Okay, so it's like the non-corporate workplace. So these are kind of for the more casual workplace, you know, or if you're at a networking meeting or you're going to a less formal a business meeting. They're less structured than presentation wear, but they also include a third piece is key to everybody's wardrobe. Now, third pieces are jackets, cardigans, or vests. And so this is the thing that makes things into outfits. Now, I find that the hardest thing for people to buy, that the most expensive piece in a wardrobe, but they complete the outfit. So, you know, most people have like a top and a bottom, but if you have a third piece, then you can mix and match the pieces and it gives you credibility. And so the fabrics in this business casual are usually dry cleanable. They might be washable and people would wear like a closed-toed flat shoe or heel. So these, it's very different than the weekend wear that you wear, you know, kind of at home or the evening wear. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's elegant evening. And I tell everybody if they have like one dressy outfit for spring, summer, and one for fall, winter, that's appropriate for, you know, either like going to a wedding or also then if they had a couple of tops to go to like a, you know, like a home party, mm-hmm. you know, then you kind of, whenever you have to go out, you have the right outfit. Because a lot of times, you know, you don't want to look like you've just come from work or, you know, it just shows respect kind of that you know what's appropriate for what kind of wear. Okay, so where are we just going from there?
We're going to go for the, can you list all of the 10 pieces?
Yes. Okay. So basically, okay. Oh, I got to talk about color. So this is the way to figure out these 10 pieces. So
okay.
If you narrow down the colors, you know, if you have we need a light color, a dark color. So the dark color has to be either black, navy, or brown. And then a light color, which is either white or cream. And then a couple of extra fashion colors, or you can have as many fashion colors as you like, but those, the main structured pieces have to be in a dark color and a light color. Mm-hmm. So then you end up, these are the 10 pieces. You have a light jacket and a dark jacket. And then the bottoms, you have three bottoms. So you have basically, okay, let's just say we're doing a black wardrobe, the dark color being black. Mm-hmm. So we'd have, and let's say black and light gray, just say. And then we'd have like, a black pair of jeans, a black dress pant, and a black skirt. Mm-hmm. Those would be three bottoms. Then we'd have a black top, a gray top, and a white top. Just say those were the three colors. And then we'd have a couple of fashion tops. So, those could have style. We don't want it to be like boring or matronly or anything. It has to have a tiny bit of style, but it still has to be a coordinate. And that's where you usually need help, to actually get the right pieces. But if you have those, you'll have like lots of combinations. You can wear the same thing over and over and not look like you're wearing the same outfits. And it's basically, if you're on a sports team, you'd have a uniform. If you worked at Tim Hortons, you'd have a uniform. Nobody probably wants to wear these uniforms, but it's what's appropriate. So it's the same for business. If you know what's appropriate and you wear like this kind of business kind of uniform, then people just give you more respect. It looks like you understand business protocol and you've actually taken the time to put together the right clothes. It doesn't look like you're doing this job on the side, but really you'd rather be home playing,
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about dress codes. How do you consult business owners to set up a dress code that's appropriate to their business environment, their corporate culture, and the people they have working for them?
Yes. Well, I found by the time people call me in, they're usually in a bit of a, it's usually because there's a few problems.
All right.
A lot of times they don't have a dress code in place. And what's happened, a lot of younger people, when they come into a company, that, the younger people are just used to dressing more casual. So they start kind of pushing the envelope, and then management is pulling their hair out and they're like, we have to do something about this. So, it takes a bit to get the bar back. So I say, start out putting out a dress code of what's inappropriate attire and what's appropriate. So, we can all kind of say what doesn't work. You can't wear jeans, you can't wear polo shirts, too tight of leggings, flip flops, tank tops, things that are too low. And then just start out with a basic protocol like that. And then people call me in, or somebody like me, to actually talk to the people and show them. Like, most people have never had any training in fashion, but they think they should know how to dress.
Yeah.
And so if they're looking around at everybody else and the peer group is, not dressing appropriately, then everyone kind of can just dumb down their look to that too. Instead of people rising to the best dressed person, it usually works the other way. So I kind of give them an education of just basically what we just talked about, the looks, so people don't feel you're trying to put them into something that's not them. And, a lot of times people say, I just want to be comfortable. But the thing is, if you're going to business, you're not going to be wearing, So if you're going to business, you're not going to be like playing a sport. So you don't have to be able to run around and move around and, do all the things that you do when you're on your time off or whatever, right? It's appropriate for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Structured clothing. That's why when you go and you're sitting on your couch, you're not going to wear your business clothes because it's just too structured for that kind of activity. So the clothes that you're going to get are actually appropriate for the activity that you're doing, right? Which is business. So anyways, then they do that. So I talk to them about color. And because the thing is, if you, just for an example, just say you don't narrow down your color to a dark color. So say you have black, brown, and navy, then you have to have all the shoes to go with that and all the accessories, or you look a bit mishmashed.
Mm-hmm.
So you always want to look like a 10, then you narrow it down. I mean, I suggest to people, this is like one of my little secret sauces, use black as one of your basics, because then you can always match it. Whereas navies, they're very hard to match, and brown's very hard to match. And if you're a glamour person and you don't mind spending a lot of time maintaining a wardrobe and you want to put a lot of money into it, then you can have as many clothes as you want, because I think the glamour people, they just love doing that and they kind of inspire us. But, a lot of people just want to look great and not have to think about it. So in that case, you really need to narrow down the colors. And then you go buying rather than shopping. So you actually go specifically buying what it is you're looking for. And there's certain times of the year when you shop, right? You don't shop like when it's the end of the sale and the new season hasn't come in yet. You shop at peak inventory. So basically, you can't just be a sales shopper. I mean, I can take people sales shopping, especially if their budgets are tight, but that's because I really know I'm looking for a needle in a haystack.
Mm-hmm.
And in any store, there's 5 to 10% of the clothes that work for each person. So you have to have some kind of a little bit of expertise. You've had to either learn through trial and error, But it's so hard to be objective about ourselves that it's always good to get a little bit of help.
Those 10 pieces, when you are moving from business professional to business casual, do those 10 pieces allow you to make that transition more smoothly? Do you just ditch that third piece like you had talked about earlier? Or how do we make that transition without obviously going too far the other way?
Now, are you talking about, okay, business casual is business professional too, right? Remember I said about presentation, that's very structured suiting. People aren't wearing that as much. So business, are you thinking, how do you go from business casual to more like time off?
No, more like a dress down Friday. I'm sorry, I wasn't using the right terms there. So yeah, dress down Friday.
Ah, exactly. Okay, so, you know, this is where people think they can wear their pajamas almost, you know? I don't know. I think this casual Friday was such a good thing to bring in because, you know, I tell my clients, okay, so they kind of have to do this casual Friday thing. But the thing is, you could meet your most important client that comes in that day and you do not want to be looking like you're having a day off because it, you know, casual Fridays don't really mean we're not going to work today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, first impressions are very important because especially if you're dealing with the client one-on-one. So I say to people, if you're going to wear black jeans or very, very dark blue jeans of good quality, like don't wear what you'd wear on the weekend. Make sure it's still very, you know, professional looking, but could look a little more casual. Mm-hmm. You know, like you could maybe wear, you know, these third pieces, right? So maybe like a nice structured cardigan mm-hmm. could work instead of a jacket. But, you know, I tell people don't go like way more casual.
Okay. I want to talk about mindset very quickly because you just really, you opened that can of worms in my mind about, you know, you're still going to work on Friday. And when you also talked about, you know, this is kind of your uniform, how do you talk to people about what you're wearing really does affect your mindset?
Yes. Okay. That's so good. I mean, the thing is we all have had that experience. Okay. There's three things. How it affects us, how it affects other people, and how it can be your number one marketing tool if you have personal and business goals. So, you know, it affects you. You know how we think something important is going to be happening. We get up early in the morning. We go to our, you know, we spend a little extra time on our hair and makeup for women. And we go to our closet, pull out our favorite outfit. And then that day, everything goes great. We just feel fantastic. Then there's the days when we think nothing important is going to happen. So maybe we sleep in a little bit later. Mm-hmm. We don't spend as much time on our hair and makeup. Then we go to our closet, we wear that thing that we haven't worn for a long time or it's a little bit too tight or somebody gave it to us or whatever. It's just not one of our favorite outfits. And that day, like you run into like your most important client or, you know, an old boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. And you're just like, why did I wear this outfit? You know, have you had that experience?
Every day of my life. No, I'm just kidding. But yes, I absolutely have.
I know, because if we don't like plan to look like a 10 every day, that's going to happen. You know, I always say, prepare for the suddenlies of life because you just never know when that's going to happen. And it's not the times that you plan. And then how it affects other people. So, you know, if you were going to go to a restaurant, say they had the best steaks in town and you drive up to the restaurant and the windows are all dirty, the awning, the letters have come off and you think, boy, you know, I'm not really sure if we're even going to go in. Mm-hmm. But then say you have somebody who, say you have like a new restaurant that's fantastic. They put all their money into branding the front. They got really flashy awnings, the right colors. You know, everything just looks fantastic. And you go in and then you have a really bad meal there. Like you're not going back. Mm-hmm. So the point is that when it comes to people, you know, clothes don't make the man or woman. They just make you more noticeable. And they're just like, they give you the edge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you do have the best steak in town, if you do have a great product, if you do have good quality service, then it can be your number one marketing tool because it tells people that you respect yourself and so you're going to respect them. It tells them what the quality level, you know, you expect great quality in a restaurant that looks great from the outside. Mm-hmm. And if it's not great from the outside, you don't really expect it to be great. So basically how you dress tells people what they're going to get, what kind of experience they're going to get with you and how much people pay you. Because if you look good, they think people will probably pay you. You don't say. So that's why you can afford to look like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, quality clothes just feel better too, right? You just feel, they just feel better when you wear them.
And from a marketing and branding standpoint, you really hit the nail on the head there. It's how you're, I mean, you are the image of your business, especially in financial services. I mean, you're the person, everybody on your team, they're the people who are the, you know, what we, the first person that you walk in and see, the financial services professional that you're probably going to be sitting down with. And there is, you do also hold yourself differently. If you are dressed in something that you know you look good and you feel confident, that feeling good, looking good, and feeling confident is going to come across not only in your service, but also in your sales and in your overall reaction. Am I correct there?
Yes, completely. That's totally it. You know, it's how investing in how you look is the smallest investment for an incredible gain. You know, so first of all, you have to get the clothes, right? You have to have this little capsule of clothes. I mean, even when I'm dressing people who are coming out of, you know, university with like huge student loans and they have to hit the ground running and look like successful lawyers right away, you know, we basically get them like six pieces and they wear those over and over and over, but they look fabulous. So, you know, I always say to people, it's not like you can't afford it, right? You have to invest in it. Like, and if you have to do it slowly or whatever, it's like such a great return if you have personal and business goals.
I want to rewind to the conversation and with the people who are listening to this podcast. I know that there are going to be as many men listening to this as women, but it doesn't really matter if you're a man or a woman. If you have to address that inappropriate attire in a workplace, especially if it's happened consistently. Now, you had said before, when there are problems, the first thing that you do is you talk about, you know, maybe a memo or something along those lines, an update to the employee handbook and especially the dress code with what is inappropriate. But what happens if you have to sit down with somebody? I mean, as an image strategist, I know a lot of things that you do are on the front end, but I'm sure that there are people, Patty, who have said to you, okay, Patty, I'm having a problem with this client or this employee, this team member. How do I make them aware of this? Can you help us with that?
Yes. Okay, so remember we talked about setting the dress code, right? Mm-hmm. And so basically the management have to take their game up a notch. Like they can't be inconsistent because sometimes, you know, everyone kind of dresses a little, you know, like there's kind of poles, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone has to, all the management have to start dressing appropriately for sure. And then they do the dress code and they say, look, we're going to take this to the next level. And we're going to have, you know, an image consultant come in here and give us some tips or whatever. And then you have to have it's kind of a good cop, bad cop. So there has to be somebody in the company that can be like the enforcer. But what I found consistently from doing this is it's really funny. Like, I don't really have an example where this doesn't work. All the people, okay, so basically they bring me in because there's one or two people that are really just really, really need to change a bit. Mm-hmm. But basically all the other people are totally inspired and then now they're talking about how they're looking and they're discussing, you know, everyone goes home and starts caring about this a lot more. And then what happens though, the people that they actually brought me in to address, they just don't really, a lot of times they don't change. And so a lot of times they're incredible employees too. And instead of the employee going, wow, this is an amazing company, right? They're just like, they don't like how I look. Well, I'm not going to change. So it just kind of depends on the person's personality. Mm-hmm. But then at least you can say, look, we had so-and-so come in here and this is what they told us. You know, somebody has to bring them into the office and have to talk with them and say, this isn't, and actually send them home if it's not right. But and that really helps everybody else too, because everybody would like to have the conversation with the person. You know, sometimes it's body odor. There's just so many things that just need to be addressed and someone just needs to do it. And then that kind of, you know, if in the end you have to have grounds or whatever to let that person go, then at least you kind of built it that way and you've done everything you can to try to help that person.
Absolutely. Something that one of my advising offices did a number of years ago when they had a specific employee who was having some issues with not really picking up on the social norms and the dress codes in the office is that employee actually had done something above and beyond. And so they had given that employee a gift card to a very specific store because they know they wouldn't have spent that money at whatever, Nordstrom's. That's the first thing that came to mind. Not like this is an ad for Nordstrom's, but it was something like that. So a nicer, higher end clothes. And they gave them enough money where they could have probably purchased, I don't know, four or five pieces, maybe even six, which could have totally changed their overall wardrobe. And the funny thing was, is it was a gentleman, and he did it, and he came back and he looked fantastic. And the amount of positive reinforcement that he had gotten from really just following the rules was something that he ended up taking a lot more stock in and truly making more investments because he felt that increased confidence.
So it worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. That's very good. Yep. That's great. And, you know, it's kind of a bit of a precedent setting, though, too, right? If you give him one person, but maybe he was, like, you know, an important employee, because you can't really do that for everybody.
Yeah, this was a very specific example, and everybody on the team, there were many issues, and you already hit on a couple of them. And so this was just everybody was on board with it, because everybody wants everybody to feel good, right? Okay. I mean, I want people to be happy working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Closing thoughts. What else do we need to know about really just being a woman in the workplace and making sure that you have the appropriate dress code at the appropriate times?
Yes. Well, you know, I say first it starts with actually seeing, like, always dress like a 10. So whether you feel like it or not, you get up in the morning, you just do your hair and makeup, you only wear your favorite outfits, and you go through your closet and get rid of things that don't work so that you can't sabotage yourself on those days when you don't feel great. And we didn't talk about hair and makeup. Hair is your number one accessory. So, you know, go to a hairstylist and get a style. And buy, you know, get a style that works with your lifestyle. So if you have long hair, but you don't actually want to put the time, you know, long hair takes longer. You don't want to take the time into doing it properly. Then maybe you should consider having a little bit shorter. And with makeup, you know, it's like as women get older, it's really good. You know, you want to have light, tasteful makeup with kind of like a dewy kind of look. So you look natural, but it takes a little bit extra time and you need to have the right products. And, you know, the fashion world is built to get people to buy. Mm-hmm. So they're always changing the colors, the styles, you know, there's the makeup products. You can spend a ton of money and still never have the right ones. Like, you know, I tell people with their makeup, right, we just have like a little package of makeup and you can do it in 5 minutes, but you got to have the right brushes and you got to know what to put where, and everybody can look amazing. So it's like, go get a makeup lesson. And, you know, try to go to somebody that's kind of, I don't know, you know, a lot of times the reason people don't go to makeup counters is because they feel like they're overly made up. So if you go there and you tell them you want light, tasteful makeup, and if they don't do it properly, go to a different makeup counter. Like, just make sure you learn how to do it. There's a few skills. And then, you know, you can have all the right things, but if you don't apply it. So every day you have to get up and you go, I'm just doing this. I'm preparing for the suddenlies. I never know when I'm going to meet that person that could completely change my life, whether it's business or personal.
Wonderful. Well, Patty, thank you very much for your thought leadership today.
My pleasure.
And please make sure that you check out Patty Morrison at imagestrategist.com. So we just talked to Patty Morrison, an image strategist. The second time we've had her on the show, if you didn't hear the first podcast, make sure you go back and listen to the other one. It's so important to make sure that you are looking the part no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are. And I love the prepare for the suddenly. So for Patty Morrison and Kirk Lowe and all of us here at Top Advisor Marketing, thank you very much. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.